With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Appreciate Jacoby Wright for hanging out with us the last hour in the Garner Trust Hour. If you missed any of that conversation, you can go back and watch it again on the Game TV on YouTube. Always appreciate when we get the athletes in here. And, man, what a great season it was for Gamecock basketball. And Jacoby Wright obviously played a big part in that. And as we talked about in the last hour, you know, going into the 2024 season, which is, again, a long way off, but you can never look too far ahead, he's going to play a big part being one of the senior leaders of this team.
That was good, y'all. I like that. I listened coming in. Jacoby, you can just tell, man, great dude. He had some good stuff there. Enjoyed also hearing about some milkshakes and some... Hey, anybody that can eat breakfast at all times, y'all know I'm...
Oh, you're all about that.
Bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich guy.
But Jacoby doesn't classify, like I said, brunch, and he kind of... It's just breakfast, like at any time.
Well, Brenner. Either way. We're good. I love that. And he was great. I thought I had some good stuff for y'all. And definitely one of those athletes that you pull for and seems to be mature and carry himself, represent the university in a great way.
Well, and he's a very rare breed in today's world of college basketball. And didn't really get into this with him in that last hour, but you know, a lot of guys at this point in their career maybe would have transferred somewhere else, you know, especially when the coach that brought you in to a program gets let go and here comes in a guy that you don't really know to take over, and you go through the struggle that year number one was for Lamont Paris. You know, a lot of guys would bail out and go somewhere else, but Jacoby Wright has stayed the course, and obviously he's gotten to enjoy the success this team had this past year, got to achieve the dream of playing in March Madness, and going to be looking to improve on that next year.
That was one of looking at the reactions when he, you know, the Garnet Trust deal got announced. That was probably 90% of the reactions were obviously fans being excited, but being like loyalty and, yeah, hey, this guy stuck it out. Hey, we're happy for this guy. And, you know, it was very cool to see how many people sort of, I would say, focused in on the fact that he's an in-state guy who obviously wanted to play for his home state school. But it's meant something to him, and he's played. Obviously, it's not like he's you know, been on the bench. But for the most part, he has had to come off the bench as kind of that sixth guy. And the fact that he has stuck it out, it means something to him. I think fans truly appreciate that.
Well, and you can tell that he, you know, he mentioned his mom more than once, helping him out with, you know, finances and the NIL side of thing and different things. So you can tell the family is great there. And he just has such a great perspective. You know, I was talking with him about the transfer portal off the air, just kind of swapping some stories and things like that about how wild that area can be. And you could just tell he takes a different perspective than a lot of guys. He's not looking at it going, all right, can I put my name in the portal so I can go somewhere that's going to pay me more money or whatever it may be. He's taking the perspective of what is the best place for me. And, you know, whether or not that's at South Carolina, if you're a Gamecock fan, you can, you know, should be able to appreciate the perspective that someone has of looking at, hey, what is just the best situation? And him being an in-state guy, like you said, Wes, him, you know, sticking here through not only a coaching change, you know, number one, coaching change, tough year. And then after you find some success, not just going out and trying to, okay, how can I try to leverage this? You know, if somebody does that, hey, it's their right. But I think that's why that reaction was so positive to Jacoby Wright being back for another season and having a Garnet Trust deal.
And if you missed any of that conversation, you can go back and watch the replay on the Game TV. Again, sponsored by our friends at Shepherd's Glass and powered by Integrated Media. Speaking of basketball, big night for women's basketball, WNBA draft last night. And, of course, our focus was on where Camila Cardoso was going to go. Cut number 11 here, Dave.
With the third pick in the 2024 WNBA draft, the Chicago Sky select Camila Cardosa, University of South Carolina.
That was last night on ESPN. Camila Cardoso didn't have to wait very long to hear her name called. Actually went a little bit higher than a lot of the projections had her around that 4 or 5. So going to the Chicago Sky and hopefully can have a great pro career. Obviously a great story of her time here at South Carolina, transferring in from Syracuse. You know, we know of her coming over from Brazil and her family not getting to watch her for years and years until they came and saw the Tennessee game at the end of the regular season, and obviously was a huge part of this championship team, not only this year, but the past couple of years in her role coming off the bench the prior 2 seasons. So a great player for South Carolina that's going to be remembered for a long time and hopefully can go on and have a great pro career as well.
Yeah, that was awesome for her. You know, we talked about it, I think, yesterday that there was a chance she eased up a little bit higher in that top five. We knew she was going to definitely go top five. And obviously, Caitlin Clark was going one. And then you had Cameron Brink two. And then, of course, Camila three. And what an awesome moment there. I mean, the number of draft picks that Dawn Staley has had at South Carolina, number of first-round draft picks, the number of number one overall picks that she's had, it is just it's crazy. That number continues to grow. It will continue to grow into the future. But great moment for really not just Camila, but her family, everybody at South Carolina. You had the entire coaching staff rolling deep there at the draft as well. And is there not something we've all been trained that when you hear that little, what is that, a sound effect, a jingle, mm-hmm. that draft tone,
yeah,
you instantly, the pick is in.
Right.
There's just something about hearing that they definitely, ESPN definitely did well with that one. But that was just such a cool moment on a great stage last night.
Yeah, and listening to Cardoso's comments afterwards, you know, I think she was saying, you know, the younger version of me, you know, would be so proud of, you know, what I've been able to become. And so it got me thinking, I know the Gamecock coaching staff, Molly Benetti, who does a great job, you know, running the strength and conditioning program for women's basketball, you know, and Aaliyah Boston, we're talking about the development piece that you were talking about, Wes, like come to South Carolina and get developed. And you've seen that with Cardoso, right? She, you know, got to high school with someone who, you know, didn't speak English, and you see that progression, and you see the growth on the court, you see the growth off the court, you know, just capped off an undefeated season, and then being able to be, you know, a top three WNBA draft pick is and join the ranks of a bunch of other, you know, Gamecock players that have come before her, you know, awesome stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, and as you mentioned, Caitlin Clark going number one overall, as expected, the Indiana Fever. She's going to be joining up with a couple of former Gamecocks and Leah Boston and Victoria Saxton. I talked about this a little bit earlier on, you know, this morning that, again, Caitlin Clark did so much for the women's game in college basketball. And the sport as a whole grew, but so many people tune in just to see Caitlin Clark and how special of a talent she was. And I'm very intrigued to see how that translates over to the next level. And the WNBA has done a good job of making sure that the Indiana Fever are going to be featured in as many nationally televised games as possible. Their first game coming up right at a month from now on ESPN2 on March the 4th, or on May the 14th, excuse me. And they're going to try and get as many eyes on that product as possible. How much can she move the needle to the next level as the season goes along, as it goes into July and August, September, as football starts to pick up? That's going to be the big question to me, is how much of a difference can she make now that she's in the WNBA?
Yeah, and I don't know enough about the rest of the supporting cast there, but you got to think with Aaliyah Boston and her on the floor together, that you've got a little kind of core there that you can certainly build around, and I think that'll be good for Aaliyah as well. And you had, I would say, obviously, if you're them, you've taken advantage of having back-to-back top overall picks. And, you know, I think, obviously, Aaliyah being Rookie of the Year, she's already what you would call a hit in terms of the evaluation and being who you thought she was going to be. And then, I mean, I'd be pretty shocked if Caitlin Clark was a bust at the next level. So I think you're off to a pretty good start there. I wanted to pay off what I said earlier, too, about the number of people that have been drafted with Dawn Staley here. And I was trying to figure out, there's a graphic on ESPN that made its round on social media. But from what I can tell, this graphic was actually before Camila Cardoso was actually drafted. So 13 now first-round picks for South Carolina. Two number one overall picks, three Rookie of the Year awards at the WNBA level, and two MVP awards at the WNBA level. So that is, it's getting the job done.
And that's why, you know, South Carolina doesn't typically have the problem of a lot of, you know, these girls wanting to transfer out at the end of the season, have a lot of roster turnover, and especially in a season like this where you're only losing Cardoso and you're basically bringing back the entire entire team in addition to bringing in some high-level talent from the transfer portal. You know, again, Cardoso played off the bench for 2 years, finally got to slide into the starting role and ends up being a top-five pick. And we've seen other girls that weren't even in starting roles still get drafted fairly high and having a career at the next level. So, you know, much like Alabama was for so many years, you know, in college football, you go to South Carolina to play women's basketball, you're going to get developed. You're going to have your shot to play at the next level.
They talked about that a lot, you know, during the national championship game broadcast. It's like, it was either the Final Four or the title game. I think it was the title game on the broadcast where they're saying, you know, Dawn's message to recruits is, if you want to come here immediately and be, hey, I'm scoring 25 points a game and I'm that person, you know, I'm the woman on the team, probably not the place for you, right? If you want to come in and just immediately be that. But if you want to get developed, if you want to win national championship, you know, that's the other thing. We were talking about that yesterday, guys. Like, this, a lot of the centerpieces that Dawn has recruited in each kind of cycle, you know, you look at 2017, 2022, and then now the players that she's brought in and said, this is what you're going to do if you come to South Carolina, they've been able to make good on that promise. You know, look at Aaliyah Boston, number one pick, you know, won a national title. Like every Asia Wilson, you know, everybody that they've shown and kind of not pitched isn't the right word, but this is what's possible if you come to South Carolina. They've been able to make good on that. And so that kind of continues, you know, that continues a very positive cycle for the Gamecocks because they've been able to replicate that.
Yeah, and I think where does it end? No sign of it ending anytime soon. And you already can see what South Carolina had on the floor this past season and starting to be like future WNBA projected draft pick. And then you look at what they're doing in recruiting right now, bringing in another top national class as well, including the number two player in the country and Joyce Edwards from Camden right down the road from here. And it's just, I think when you look at the recruiting process, and Chris and I obviously cover it and have paid attention a ton on the football side, every coach that's recruiting someone is telling and frankly selling a story. And the story is, hey, here's what you can do if you come play for us. Here's what you can do in our program. And, you know, you're going to be this, 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 and this. Well, Dawn Staley, she can just point to, hey, this is what we said would happen, and it's happened. For if you follow the process, it's actually incredibly Nick Saban-esque. And follow the process, be willing to sacrifice a little bit personally on the floor for the betterment of the team, but ultimately you are going to get yours, and you're going to be better off for it in the long run because you had to wait a little bit longer and had to work for it. And for pretty much everybody that has come in and bought in, it's worked out the way it was promised.
So again, congratulations, Camilla Cardoso. Certainly excited to see what she's going to be able to do at the next level, again with Chicago Sky as the number three overall pick in last night's WNBA draft. Turn our attention to spring football as Coach Beamer last night speaking at a welcome home event up in Lancaster.
I got to pronounce it right.
Correctly. We touched on this in the last
gosh.
Hour. I know.
You want to try again?
You know what? Let me practice it in the break, and I'll come back and try it again when we come back. We'll hear from Coach Beamer what he had to say at the welcome home event last night, talking about spring football. It's the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour, presented by Firehouse Subs here on the game. Welcome back in. Gamecock Central Takeover Hour, presented by Firehouse Subs. Tyler Head, West Metro, Chris Clark, along with you on this Tuesday morning. Reminder, if you have not heard, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, on the early game, a big, huge announcement with Bill and Preston. You do not want to miss it. Again, tune in tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock to hear what that big announcement is. Okay, before we get this cut from Beamer, the proper pronunciation of where the welcome home event was last night because I mispronounced it going into the break. I said Lancaster, and that is incorrect.
Like Chris said, you came up with three. I think you had three different
pronunciations. I did not know that Lancaster was the improper pronunciation until listening to Bill and Preston talk this morning. I'm like, okay, they said it the right way, and I had it in my mind to say it the right way, and I still messed it up.
Okay, how do you say?
Please help me out. Well, I'm relying on you.
I think Tyler is scared that his...
You're relying on Bill for a pronunciation? Although he could probably... I think Bill can get towns in South Carolina.
Bill is local.
That's true.
I am not. Mm-hmm. So I'm relying on you to help me sound this out correctly.
Lancaster.
No.
No. You did that version already.
Lancaster.
No.
Tyler. What? Right. Oh, my goodness. We should have done this off air.
Somebody that's long and lanky.
Let's go syllable by syllable here.
Lancaster.
Almost like Lancaster.
Lancaster.
No, you're doing Lan.
What am I doing wrong?
You're saying Lan.
Lan.
Lancaster.
Lancaster.
You said link.
All right, we got to move on to Shane Beamer.
I don't think I'm going to get this right. I will try and work on it.
Shane Beamer could pronounce it correctly.
You just point at us when that word needs to be said.
All right, so last night, Coach Beamer was speaking at a welcome home event in
Lancaster.
And talking, obviously, about spring practice, another scrimmage this past Saturday. Cut 14 here, Dave. Here's his assessment of this past Saturday's scrimmage.
From Lancaster.
I thought the scrimmage was really good. I thought it was more a little bit cleaner than the previous Saturday. Defensively, did some really good things again. Offensively, I thought they took a big step from last Saturday to this Saturday. You know, very efficient, very few penalties, very few turnovers. I think there was one. Moved the ball a little bit better. Pass protection was good. Did some good things in the run game. So overall was very pleased with it. Quarterback wise, again, they all got opportunities. All did some good things. All did some things that we need to correct. But I thought the offense as a whole and the quarterbacks as a whole made some big strides in the last week. And then this week will be critical coming up. At least in that three practices this week and then the spring game on Saturday. Really eager to see how guys continue to separate themselves from one another.
Okay, based on that minute-long clip there from Coach Beamer, everything is good. This past Saturday was good. Quarterbacks look good. Receivers look good. Defense look good. Let's read between the lines on that.
that's a mouthful, Tyler. Look, I think we heard some of that. Like, the scrimmage was obviously closed to the public and media. And so Wes and I won't speak for you, Wes, but I know comparing notes, you know, there were some good things of each in the scrimmage. It wasn't, from what we've picked up, the defense just completely dominated. Like, I think the offense, from what we heard, put together a couple scoring drives, so that's good. And this is something that Beamer talks about, but it's correct. You know, anytime something happens in practice, defense gets a turnover. Oh, the offense is turning the ball over. Offense, you know, scores. Oh, the defense gave up a score, right? And so it's kind of hard to assess certain things on a full team level. You know, you can exit the spring and go, hey, I feel good about our personnel at this particular position, or I feel like we're going to be better on the defensive line, you know, than last year. Just using those things as some potential examples. To some degree, you're not going to fully know what you have until you line up against Old Dominion. And then even then, I mean, kind of broken record alert, right? You have to play against another team to be able to really properly assess what you have. But I do think you can take some of the things that you've seen in the spring and do a little bit of projection, right? You can see, you know, Lenoris Sellers' dual threat ability at the quarterback position and his physical tools and his IQ and some of the plays that he makes in practice, extending plays, some of the throws he makes. You can see those things and think they project forward. You can look at, you know, the combination of your personnel getting better on the D-line, having a lot of graduates and seniors at defensive tackle, and then adding another one in DeAndre Jules to that, being more athletic at linebacker, at adding personnel, whether it's Dylan Stewart as a freshman or getting Kyle Kennard or getting Gilbert Edmond back, adding that to the mix at edge, things like that, you can take those pieces, look at how they perform in the spring, and then and kind of project those forward a little bit.
Yeah, and I think scrimmages are always a little bit difficult to judge, like Chris said. And you really, I think you want to see individual player development. That's what the spring is all about. And, you know, ultimately, I think games in a lot of ways are sometimes more about team development. And, yeah, you have to develop your individuals, but it's more about game plan. It's about getting the right five offensive linemen out there and letting them gel together and cutting your offense down to something that's going to work that particular season, and then cutting it down to something that's going to work that particular game, you know, even further. But right now, it's about individuals. It's about getting better as a whole for every single guy out there. And, you know, I think for Lenora Sellers and this offense, there's going to be some sort of clunky moments during the spring. Like, I'm sure, you know, you go back to that first scrimmage and we heard about how far the defense is ahead. And that, to me, is a bit to be expected. But I think you want to start to hear, and we kind of did from Beamer there, hey, the offense has also has made some plays as well. The offense has done some good things. And I'll say this. I was thinking about this yesterday. Transfer portal opens today. It's open, right? What have we talked about all offseason? Wide receivers. Can Carolina go add more wide receivers? In a weird way, I think it behooves South Carolina to have some offensive success on Saturday. I think it behooves them to have Lenora Sellers have a good day and throw the ball around, because you are looking to land, you hope, another playmaking wide receiver. And so you want to be able to point to a quarterback and be like, that's going to be our guy, where you maybe are facing in the portal some other schools that have a more established quarterback situation.
Our school's going to start. That's the next level. They're going to start doing that. And, hey, look at all our offensive fireworks. And then, oh, do you see our defensive star A? Our defense is terrible. You got to come in and help us.
I mean,
we're not saying they're going to do that. But it's plausible.
If it works, it's all about selling.
I agree with you, though. Like, look at look at this quarterback. He's got multiple years left. You can come play with him.
But if you don't have the film to show that, right now you got, like, literally a handful of plays from last year. To me, you literally want to have some film from Saturday to be like, look at this guy. In recruiting, you got to exaggerate things a little bit. Look at this. It's Cam Newton. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Come play with this guy. If you're a wide receiver and you got 1 year left, you want to know, especially if I'm a certain wide receiver from Penn State, where I'm leaving because the offense stunk and the quarterback situation was a question. You want to see that.
Speaking of the transfer portal, Coach Beamer spoke about that as well. We'll hear his thoughts on how they're going to navigate the portal over the course of these next couple weeks. Quick reminder, coming up today at 12:30, we'll hear from Coach Beamer at his usual Tuesday press conference. Also, later on this week, Carolina calls Coach Beamer coming up on Thursday night at 6 o'clock as he will give a final preview of the spring game coming up on Saturday. We'll hear Coach Beamer's thoughts on the transfer portal coming up next. Gamecock Central Takeover Hour presented by Firehouse Subs here on the game. Welcome back in. It's the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour presented by Firehouse Subs. Tyler Head, Wes Mitchell, Chris Clark along with you on your Tuesday. Reminder, as always, you can go to 1075game.com and register for your chance to win the Palmetto Citizens Federal Credit Union Grand Slam Giveaway. Pot is about $900 right now as the Gamecocks head down to Charleston to take on the Citadel coming up tonight. Another chance for you to win. Again, go to 1075game.com and register for your chance to win the Palmetto Citizens Federal Credit Union Grand Slam Giveaway.
Guys, I have an announcement.
Yes.
I'm calling it.
Okay.
The Grand Slam is tonight.
Tonight.
Oh, it's happening.
Now, this is a reeling Citadel team. They've lost 10 out of their last 11. Give up a lot of runs.
It's happening.
Think it's happening tonight?
Yes.
All right. We will
have
11:35 on Tuesday. I will bring this back up tomorrow, and we'll revisit and see if you were right.
I don't know which guy it's going to be. I'm just feeling it's going to be a grand slam.
Feeling like a random Dalton Reeves grand slam.
I don't know if that would be random at this point.
He's hitting it.
Will Tippett had a big weekend. Let's give it to him.
That'd be cool.
That would be great. Dalton Reeves is like the hottest hitter this side of Marcelo Zuna at this point. So,
dude is making the most of his opportunities, hitting .360 and 17 at bats, four home runs with the six RBIs against Presbyterian the other week. Like, he's making the most of it.
Yeah, and it's been against SEC play too. He was really good this past weekend. I don't know. There's still a lot to play for. I know I'm getting us off track, Tyler, but there's still a lot to play for this team. So hopefully they can keep it going tonight and then roll into a big-time matchup with Arkansas.
I'm glad you mentioned that matchup with Arkansas because we have tickets to give away. Saturday, 3 o'clock, Founders Park. Pair tickets to caller number 3 right now, 803-404-6100. Go see the Gamecocks take on a very good Razorbacks team this upcoming Saturday. Caller number 3, 803-404-6100. Dave, before you answer those phones, let's hear a little bit more from Coach Beamer at the Welcome Home event last night in
Lancaster,
talking about how they're going to navigate the portal these next couple weeks. Cut number 16.
It's challenging these 2 weeks coming up here, or 2 weeks that I've been, looking forward to, dreading, thinking about, a lot of different ways to describe it for a while now. We'll see what happens. It gives you the opportunity to improve your team potentially if there's someone out there that fits what we're about. And then also you want to make sure you keep your team intact. And certainly we got a lot of really good players on our team that I want to keep around here as well. So, I feel like we're in a good place. But, whenever the portal's been open, there's always, every school would say this, there's always surprises and things like that as well. But it's a challenging time just because we got three practices this week, spring game, portal's open, last day of class is a week from today, so players have exams coming up next week. So there's a lot, in this end of the year meetings with players. I mean, there's a lot to get done over the next couple weeks. And I know it's cliche, but we're just kind of trying to take it one day at a time, and each day just try and get a little bit better, as a team, whatever that, or however that may be.
As Coach Beamer mentioned there, a lot going on this week. Portal officially open today. Just kind of scrolling through On Three's Twitter, seeing guys officially entering the portal, including Caden Proctor, who's going to be going back to Alabama.
He has a
do not contact tag, so we know where that one's going to go. But, you're wrapping up spring practice. You have the spring game coming up this weekend. You're going to have your assessment meetings with all your players starting at the beginning of next week, where that'll be an opportunity for guys to kind of see where they stand and for a lot of those guys to enter the portal. Again, it'll be roughly a week after the portal is already open. But as we talked about the other day, you got guys in your staff that are locked in and focused on who's entering the portal and how these guys potentially come in and help South Carolina. Should South Carolina be able to make a run at them? And obviously you'll have a better idea of what kind of spots you're going to have available, what kind of scholarships you're going to have available next week, as you assume you're probably going to lose a handful of guys, if nothing else, to the portal after spring practice wraps up.
Yeah, you always have the opportunity for, like I talk about, those healthy transfers where it's just, hey, man, we love you, but you're maybe third or fourth on the depth chart. Maybe not a lot of playing time for you in the next couple of years, and you'll see those guys obviously move along and try to find somewhere new. I think if you're South Carolina, really, if you're any team, you want for this 15-day one to be a lot different than the other transfer portal window, a little bit more calm. You don't want to be sort of putting out fires, so to speak. You hope that you've already done a great job in terms of roster management, roster retention, you would say, and putting yourself in a position where it's a little bit quieter. For South Carolina, I mean, look at the number of guys they brought in during the other transfer portal window, the number of positions that they hit in that window. This time around, really, you're saying, can we bring in a receiver or two? And I think, Chris, you're probably going to be maybe kicking the tires just on like a best available situation. Like if some superstar cornerback just calls you, you're probably going to take the call. Mm-hmm. But I think that, we've talked about it, that's a spot they seem to feel actually pretty good about at this point. So I think you've already filled, at least on paper, a lot of your needs. Like you said, if a left tackle just happens to be like, man, I love Garnett and Black, let me see if Coach Beamer would have me. Well, I think Coach Beamer would say, we'd love to chat. So
yeah.
I think, for the most part, though, you want this thing to be fairly quiet because if it's not, I think that probably means some not good things.
That's true. I mean, you got the two sides of it, and that is trying to keep your own roster. You know, what you don't want to happen is whether it's today or, you know, it's going to be weird because it could be before or after the spring game. So you don't want it to be today, tomorrow, after the spring game, a major contributor to be walking in your office if you're Shane Beamer saying, actually, you know, I think I'm going to be moving on, right? That's not what you want. I think, like you said, Wes, healthy transfers, could there be some? Yes. I would honestly be surprised if there weren't at this point. What you want to avoid, though, is
any unhealthy transfers.
The unhealthy transfer where it might be healthy for the player leaving, but not for the Gamecocks. And then going into the portal, I mean, I don't think you want to slam the door on anything, but it's very hard to envision South Carolina taking another quarterback, right? Or you know, because they have Sellers, they've got a couple other guys that have transferred in, they've got a freshman, you know, taking three running backs from the portal already and bringing in another freshman this summer, and then what you got on the roster, you don't really look at it and say, okay, you know, they're going to be searching for a running back or take one at all. But there are some other spots where you could see it. I definitely think the focus and most of the names that we're going to hear are going to be centered around the wide receiver position.
Well, Jacoby Wright offered in the last hour to play wide receiver. He is 6'2", after all. So
come on.
If you can't get somebody from the portal, there's always that option.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. I mean, I'm sitting there going through the positions. I don't even know what other spot they would, other than receiver or like I said, just if some random left tackle popped up.
Or a corner. I could see a corner. But even then, I mean, they seem to feel pretty good about that. And, you know, linebacker, nope, because you've got, I mean, hearing any even more in the past couple of days, they seem to feel pretty good about linebacker. I mean, between the guys they've got back, Debo Williams, Bam Martin Scott, your two transfers, and they really like the two freshmen. You still got Mo Cobbick. What can you get out of him? And then you've got, you know, Jaron Willis as well.
It's really one of the deepest rooms in the entire team.
Yes.
Much like the defensive front as well.
Yeah. So let's be honest, at this point, guys, from like a resources standpoint, a lot of this is, you know, about balance in terms of NIL. So resources wise, you hope that you've sort of taken care of your guys who either came in this past, you know, in January in that portal window or your returning guys. And so you hope you've already done the right things there as far as making those guys feel like they're where they want to be and that they're being taken care of and really, I mean, I think perfect world, it would. I think if you're South Carolina, you prefer maybe if it just to be one wide receiver, if it's the right wide receiver. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could see them taking two, but I think you'd almost prefer just that perfect guy, a 6'3 X receiver who can make plays down the field and has great leaping ability if you could do a creative player.
A lot of focus on the transfer portal with it opening up today over these next couple weeks, but plenty of focus on high school recruiting as well. A couple high-level recruits set to make decisions coming up in the next couple days. We'll dive into that coming up next. Wrap up today's edition of the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour, presented by Firehouse Subs here on The Game. Welcome back in. Gamecock Central Takeover Hour presented by Firehouse Subs. Tyler West and Chris Long with you. A couple more minutes to go here. Reminder, Craft Beer Card is back. You can spend $30 a brewery at 12 different craft beer locations. It's a $360 value. All yours for just $79. Go online to 107.5thegame.com. Click on Sweet Deals to purchase the Craft Beer Card. Talking a little bit of recruiting here as we get into the middle of April. Couple big name guys set to make their announcements in the next couple days. We'll start off with four-star quarterback Ryan Montgomery out of Ohio, set to make his decision coming up tomorrow. Unfortunately, it looks like it's trending away from the Gamecocks.
Yes, this was it's an interesting recruitment, Chris. I'll say this. I don't know if you can – obviously, it's looking like Georgia. I don't know if you can fault the kid too much. Like, he really handled the process methodically. We did think, all right, he might be about to commit. This was months ago. And it was, he's going to wait. He's about to commit. Oh, he's going to wait. And so I think maybe there's a sense, was he always potentially waiting to see if this opportunity was going to come up? And we always sort of were tracking Georgia in the background of South Carolina and Florida, which seemed to be the two favorites for most of the process. But it was always about, would Georgia get to him on their recruiting board at quarterback, essentially? And so at this point, there's always dominoes in quarterback recruiting because most teams are going to take one, two at the most. And so when Missouri stepped in and got the Zollers kid who Georgia was recruiting, and that was a domino. And then you look at the kid that's committed to Southern Cal, top guy in the country for some people. I think Georgia said, look, we got Brian Montgomery sitting here. He wants to come. They've recruited him hard, even if he was down the board a little bit. And here you are. This is how you get to there.
If Dylan Raiola doesn't go to Nebraska and ends up going to Georgia, do you think Brian Montgomery would still, obviously a cycle behind, do you think he still goes?
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. You're always going to have to fight for playing time at that position. However, there are some guys that, maybe can – there are some guys in recruiting that carry a little bit more weight than others that I think quarterbacks probably pay attention to. That was one thing we heard with Florida, is that the presence of DJ Lagway – was something that maybe gave them pause about Florida. So can you extrapolate that? Maybe not. But I do think that could have been a factor. Does Georgia take a quarterback in this class or not if they feel differently about some other guys? Like, I think there's always dominoes as far as this goes. And for South Carolina, this just the dominoes did not go their way. Now, not to put a positive spin on it, but at the same time, if Lenore Sellers is – who South Carolina thinks he is, then you hope he's your quarterback for a couple of seasons moving forward. And really, this has become the quarterback recruiting game with the transfer portal has changed everything. It's, let's take a high school guy every cycle if we can. Let's not reach on a guy because you just know. Let's play it out. Let's say Sellers is your guy for a few years. He moves on to the NFL in theory. At that point, you may be looking at another portal guy, 3 years from now or something. It's just very different than it once was at that position, in my opinion.
Yeah, and, a lot of – something I've heard and seen since this Montgomery thing took this turn and twist is, South Carolina put all their eggs in the Ryan Montgomery basket and say, yes, that was by design. And you could say, okay, they shouldn't have done that. But to your point, Wes – strategically, that was the play, right? I mean, they offered a few other guys at quarterback, but for months now, he's been the singular focus. If you were going into the 2025 cycle saying, we have got to sign a quarterback out of high school, if that's your mindset, I don't think we would have seen Montgomery be the singular focus. But the things that you said, Wes, Sellers being young, having some other options on the roster, and being able to go out at any point, it's not this easy, right? But being able to go out theoretically and sign a quarterback from the transfer portal if you need next year, the year after, whenever, you've got that kind of in your back pocket as a strategy as well.
Last one here real quick as we wrap up another commitment coming up this weekend. Kendall Daniels Jr., the four-star safety prospect out of Virginia, I guess set to make his decision coming up on Sunday. South Carolina finalists with Duke, Virginia Tech, and Penn State.
Buy stock in South Carolina's DB class while it's early, because I got a feeling this thing is going to be looking pretty nice on paper when it's over. And I think South Carolina, if you've read Gamecock Central, you kind of already know this. South Carolina in I would say, really good shape here with him. Good chance he's on campus this weekend at the spring game. That'll be a big group of visitors on campus. Good chance that he's one of them. And someone South Carolina really has, I would say quietly, Chris, like he wasn't a guy we necessarily have maybe been tracking as closely as we could have been or should have been the last couple months maybe, but quickly has become one to watch in terms of possibly being in this class.
Keep an eye on that as the week goes along. Again, hear from Coach Beamer coming up in about 30 minutes, as usual, Tuesday press conference. And don't forget, coming up tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock on the early game with Bill and Preston. A huge announcement you're not going to want to miss. So again, tune into that tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock right here on the game. That was today's edition of the Gamecock Central Takeover Hour presented by Firehouse Subs. Halftime show, myself, Terry Ford, coming up next here on the game.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.